Okay, let's unpack this. We're taking a deep dive today into South Africa's 2023 Sustainable Development Goals Country Report. Now, this is a pretty significant document. It's the third one they've put out, and crucially, it marks the halfway point to that global 2030 agenda.
Exactly. And our goal here really is to quickly distill the main message for you. What you see is this picture of strong policy aims and some real achievements, but they're up against these huge systemic challenges. It's quite a contrast.
Right. So let's start with those big challenges, the sort of macro picture the report paints. The president himself highlights these persistent issues: poverty, inequality, and unemployment.
Yes, those are the core structural problems. And now they're being compounded by what the report calls interlinked global crises.
Like what specifically?
Well, think about the lingering effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, global conflicts happening, and just a general slowdown in the world economy. All that puts immense pressure on South Africa.
And that's on top of their own serious climate change issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They mentioned battling both severe droughts and devastating floods. So, yeah, it's a lot.
And then there's the big one, nationally speaking, the issue that seems to run through almost everything, the energy crisis, load shedding.
Uh-huh. That's really presented as a major break on progress. These power cuts, they're not just, you know, an inconvenience. The report is clear. It hits reliable water supply. It pushes up food costs because transport gets disrupted, and it's crippling for businesses, especially smaller ones.
Wow. So it really makes achieving almost any other goal that much harder.
It really does. It just adds layers of difficulty everywhere, from health services to job creation.
Okay, so that paints a pretty tough picture. But surely there were some successes highlighted, areas where policy did make a difference.
Oh, definitely. Goal one, which is poverty reduction, saw some significant gains. They note the percentage of people living below the international poverty line dropped from about 26.3% back in 2009 down to 18.8% by 2015.
That's a substantial drop.
It is. But here's where it gets really interesting. What's underpinning that is a massive social protection system.
Tell us about that network. The scale sounds enormous.
It really is. We're talking about roughly a third of the entire population receiving some kind of government grant. In 2022, that was over 18.6 million people. The child support grant alone reaches over 13 million kids.
A third of the population.
Yeah. This huge spending is often called the social wage. It's clearly a core government strategy for providing a safety net.
Okay, that's goal one. What about goal three, health? The outline mentions some positive news there, too.
Yes, definitely some bright spots in health. The report shows reductions in maternal mortality, infant mortality, and neonatal mortality rates.
And one target was actually met.
That's right. They actually achieved the 2030 target for the neonatal mortality rate way back in 2013 and have kept it below 12 deaths per 1,000 live births since then. So that's a clear policy success story.
Any other notable progress?
Well, they also mentioned positive trends in female representation in politics, which touches on goal five, gender equality. So some movement there, too.
So we have these clear wins, especially in health and the sheer scale of social support. But if a third of the country relies on grants, given the economic stagnation you mentioned earlier, how sustainable is that? Which I guess brings us to the gaps.
That's the big question, isn't it? It feels a bit like treating symptoms. And that leads us straight to goal eight. Decent work and economic growth. The unemployment figures are just stark.
How bad are they?
In 2022, the overall unemployment rate was sitting at 33.5%. And for young people, it was even worse, 46.3%. Just huge numbers.
Over a third unemployed overall, nearly half of young people. Mm-hmm. That really underscores the point about the economic engine struggling, even with that huge social safety net.
Exactly.
And what about inequality? Did the social wage at least manage to narrow the gap between the richest and poorest South Africans?
This is where you have to look closely at the data. The report does note a decline in racial income inequality.
Okay, that sounds positive on the surface.
It does. But digging deeper, it seems this was largely driven by rising incomes at the very top end for Black South Africans, rather than broad-based growth lifting those people up. And critically, the gap between the absolute wealthiest and the absolute poorest hasn't really narrowed. Consumption for the poorest households has remained pretty stagnant.
So the structure of the economy seems stuck, and the energy crisis is hurting businesses. Where else did the report show negative trends or things going backwards?
Well, even some basic services showed negative performance. Access to reliable waste removal, for example. And also, the number of people in agriculture who have secure rights to their land seems to have declined.
which highlights issues not just with services, but maybe also with tracking progress accurately.
Possibly, yeah. Data collection itself is mentioned as a challenge in some of these complex areas.
Okay, so pulling this all together, what's the overarching takeaway? It sounds like a real paradox.
That's a good way to put it. You have South Africa with clearly strong pro-poor policies. They spend over half the national budget on this social wage. And they've had undeniable public health successes. But
they're facing these enormous headwinds, economic stagnation, deep-rooted inequality, all made worse by this crippling energy crisis.
Precisely. The report itself is quite blunt in its conclusion. It says achieving the 2030 targets will require stronger and increased partnerships between all stakeholders.
Right. And that brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. The report mentions data challenges, especially around local services and land rights. So the question is, could really boosting data sharing partnerships, maybe bringing in more private sector and academic expertise, genuinely shift the needle towards meeting those 2030 goals? Or is the lack of data just another symptom of deeper problems that partnerships alone can't fix?